I was wondering if you could tell me what prompted you to enter into the wind turbine business.
Well, you can't buy a utility company. I'm interested in the green industries, if you will, and I feel it's really a fast-growing industry. And I think, you know, back when was it the 70s that solar and everything else they were looking at, and then, you know, oil prices came back down and so on, but I don't think we're going to see that this time. And so it's a growth industry. ABC obviously continues to grow, but with the housing right now where it is, it'll come back, but it's going to be a year or 2 years before that happens. And I'm a guy that lives on growth. So I, you know, that's an industry that I feel has a great growth potential for the country, and I think it's really green, and I think they'll be good investments for the future.
Is this something you would have considered 10 years ago, or have things changed?
Well, no, things have changed. I mean, you fill up your car, it's $3 a gallon, and back then, you know, what was it, $1.40, $1.50, something like that, and so yeah, things do change, you know. After 9/11, things changed. You know, things evolve, and food-wise, and medicines, and all these things change. And I'm about creating jobs in the Midwest. You know, nothing happens unless you create a job. And I bought this company over in Denmark, which gave us the expertise that very few American companies have, in which building towers, so we're eons ahead of the rest of the industry as far as building towers go. And when the plant is done in Keokuk, we'll be the largest tower manufacturer in the world.
Wow.
Right now we're number two. And we really haven't been in the business like January 2nd of this year. We have a plant in Denmark, and we have one in Germany, and then we're building the one in Keokuk.
What made you pick Keokuk, and did you consider Wisconsin?
Yeah, I considered Wisconsin, but Wisconsin really doesn't have a real favorable wind support, if you will. I mean, they have some programs going, and I think the governor is trying to get there. But the fact of the matter is, in Iowa, the newspaper said they were correct. It was a $34 million deal, but the fact is it was a $75 million deal when you consider the equipment and everything else that goes into it. And with the paint booth that we're doing, it's a paint booth large enough you can paint a Boeing 747, okay? And so that wasn't included. So it's really a $75 million, and we're looking at subsidies, if you will, from the state. In that state, in the area of, well, it was $28 million with a $34 million investment. Okay? So at a $80 million investment, it's going to be about $60 million that comes from the state.
Wow.
So it's enormous amount of support and cooperation through all agencies of the state there, environmentally, the DOT, or there it's the DOI, no, IOD, Iowa Department of Transportation, the railroad, it's just a cooperative effect. But the biggest thing, and the reason that's there, is because it's on the Mississippi River.
Uh-huh.
And we can ship on the Mississippi River for about, it costs anywhere from $40 to $100 a mile to move one of these towers down the road. And on a barge, we can do it for about $2 a mile. So we can get it closer to the site. Because you can get to Tulsa, Oklahoma, you can do all the coastlines, you can get to Chicago, all the Great Lakes, and all the Mississippi River and all the Ohio River, which when you plot that out, you can get these towers a lot closer. And so we can reduce the cost. Up the river and down the river, there are steel mills where we'll buy our steel, so we can get the steel brought in cheaper. The blade manufacturer, Siemens, is up the road about 8 miles, okay, that they're building blades. And
Siemens, the German company?
Siemens, the German company, oh. Yes. They're one of our customers. They're our major customer. And we're basically sold out for 5 years. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
As soon as the plant's gone, we're filled up with orders.
That's impressive.
And we are in Europe, and we are in, in Denmark and Germany. We're totally filled up.
And Denmark is known for its wind.
Yes.
And then Northern Iowa, there's the top of Iowa project.
Yes, Iowa, I think, in all the states, I think Iowa is number 4 or 5. North Dakota, I think, is high. Minnesota is high. Wisconsin is like number 9 or 10, you know, for wind states.
Mm-hmm.
And southern Wisconsin is good, and there's areas in Wisconsin, but Wisconsin is not the top state, if you will.
Is that because from Iowa to the Rockies, it's pretty flat? And
well, no, but it's what causes wind. Wind, you know, like the Santa Anas that are going right now that burn all them houses down there, well, the wind happens because of the temperature of the land and the cool air and combination of the two. I'm not I'm not a weatherman.
Right.
So I don't understand that, but there are wind states and there are non-wind states.
Uh-huh.
And Wisconsin is somewhere between 10 and 12.
Huh. Wisconsin has that driftless area where the land is bumpy. Does that slow the wind down, or?
In some cases, that can actually help.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Because some states you have to go high to get the wind, and some states the wind is low. It depends on the terrain, and again, where it picks up the cool air. And all it is high pressure rushing the low pressure, and that's caused because of the cool water, warm fields, cold fields, and so on.
Interesting. Huh. To go back to the housing industry, how much is it off from a couple of years ago?
Well, not a couple of years ago, from a year ago, it's off about 15%.
Wow.
But our business is about 70% re-roof, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and about 5% storms, meaning hail,
right.
Wind, hurricanes, and 20% new construction. And new construction is off 75%, okay? So that equates to 15% off as a total in our sales level.
Have you had to do any layoffs?
No. We're continually growing the business. We've slowed down our growth plans a little bit this year because, you have to button down the hatches.
Do you have a sense where the economy is going?
Well, you know, there's no free money in the world, and these, what do you call them, these loans that they were giving the banks. Help me out here.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. You read it in the newspaper. I mean, it's the loans that people are given where they lend 110% on your house.
Oh, the mortgages. The subprime.
The subprime, okay. Yes.
All
the
right.
Subprime market. A bunch of fat cats from the East Coast are, you know, talking people in what a great deal is, and then, you know, it's unreal money, and all of a sudden the interest rates go up and the people can't afford to pay for it, and a lot of people buy the houses. That's the problem with the American economy. It's been that way. You go on and on and on through the years, and it seems everybody goes over this. When Clinton was president, everybody was in the .com, and then it all crashed, okay? Things that seem too good to be real, they're too good to be real, okay? And it's just a basic business premise that it's always been my premise. When people are selling, I'm buying, and when people are buying, I'm selling, because Americans react to the newspaper, and it's almost like the newspapers are marketers of something that isn't real in the future. You know, grab your money now, because there's no more. But, you know, the money wasn't good to begin with, so it's going to hurt a lot of the larger banks and everything in the country. I think it's going to have a real domino effect, and it could be a year and a half to as long as 3 years before the housing market comes back. I believe in the housing market because it is the American dream. Okay, mm-hmm. That's one thing. This country will allow people to own a home and build equity, you know, where most countries you don't have that freedom to do that. So it'll correct itself.
Do you think that too many people begin to see housing as a way to make money rather than a place to live?
Yeah, I think a lot of you see the places up north where they bought these condos and second homes, and the neighbor comes back and he says, geez, I bought a condo a year ago, and somebody offered me $100,000 more than I paid for it. See what I mean?
Right.
And they hear these stories, boy, I better get in the game quicker, I'm going to be out of it. Well, the problem is when everybody gets in it, there's nobody from Chicago that's going to come up and buy it. There, you reach a saturation point, if you will.
Hmm. How about the Wisconsin economy?
Wisconsin economy never really boomed. So, you know, the good old Midwest this isn't Phoenix, this is not Albuquerque, this is not Las Vegas, where they got 5,000 to 10,000 homes sitting. It's not Denver, Colorado, it's not Florida. Areas of the country that were booming, again, it was the same thing. They would actually, they didn't have to sell houses. They'd ask 400,000 and they'd get bids for 450. And people just, how much can you pay for a house? Well, it becomes back to reality. And all of a sudden they're like, yeah, it's 450 and I plan on selling for five a year later. But if you don't sell it, you got to make a payment on 450 when you can only afford 300.
Right.
And that's where they get in trouble.
To go back to Iowa, do you own other companies there as well?
Well, ABC has several stores in Iowa. We're in Dubuque, Cedar Rapids, Des Moines. I have a barge company that I own there, a port. We handle coal there for Alliant. You know, we supply coal for Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
For the power plants out of our facility in Keokuk. So we have two operations in Keokuk now. One is a coal. We unload trains. We have a dumper, and then we load barges and so on to come up to Wisconsin to feed the power plants for Alliant. Alliant's been a very, very good partner. They're very loyal to the Wisconsin businesses. They really are. I must say that about them. And then the Port Authority, we unload coal for a company called Roquette. We bring it steel for other party. We bring in salt that's picked up. It comes up the river on the barge, and we unload it and store it. And all types of steel, all types of commodities that come up by barge, and we unload it. And we have options on about 300 acres of land there also. We have 84 acres on the river and about 300 acres of land right off the river, if you will, on top of the ridge.
How's the Keokuk economy doing?
It's right now it's very poor. I mean, they've lost a lot of jobs. It's a great little community. They've lost a lot of jobs there, and I'm hoping to help them bring them back. You know, people, when you don't have a good paying job, you're not going to achieve this at Walmart and working at McDonald's and so on. And if people get good paying jobs there, they'll be able to fix up their home and raise the value of the real estate, and it's very depressed. So where you have an economy like that, their people's main asset, like we were talking about earlier, is their home. And if there's no jobs, that means there's no way to buy the home, and therefore you got to sell it for a lesser price if you're going to move on to chase a job. So my theory has always been, like Beloit, you got to create jobs. There is no integrity in a human being unless you have a job. I mean, that is if you're capable of working. There's situations that people can't work, of course. But I think we've done a pretty good job of regaining the 3,500 jobs that have left when Beloit Corporation went out of business. I think we're up to about 2,500 jobs that we regained back in the last 4 years, and we're still working on that. But Keokuk has some assets that Beloit don't have, or Janesville, the river mainly, for transportation purposes. And they have a very good rail system there, very active. And so the combination of them two, I think we can help bring the Keokuk economy back.
What was the strength of the economy there?
You say the strength.
Of Keokuk before it lost the jobs.
Well, it was a very diverse manufacturing base. And quite honestly, I don't know specifically what jobs that they lost. the mayor there, he's a nice guy. You could give him a call.
Okay.
And I'll give you his phone number.
Okay.
I have it right here, and he can tell you what it was and what
okay.
he expects it to be. But, you know, you've got a town of 15,000 people. If you create 400 or 500 jobs, that's major. And then the other jobs, the transportation
sure.
jobs and so on. So you're looking at 600-700 jobs in a town of 15. That's like Beloit or Janesville getting 15 to 2,000 jobs, you know, 1,500 to 2,000.
Are you interested in any other sort of green industries like solar or?
Yeah, ABC, we're involved in some solar roofing and so on. We're working with 4 or 5 different companies on that. We have our green roof out here that you know. We're one of the few companies in the world that actually have a patented on the system, and it's being used really quite extensively in cities like Chicago. Mayor Daley speaks of the roofs all the time. In Atlanta, Milwaukee has used some. Surprisingly, but not unexpectedly, the Blake College has a green roof that they're putting on their new science center, but Janesville, but you know, it always seems, I don't know why it is, the experts all come from out of town and the local people don't see it when it hits them right between the eyes, but there are a lot of cities around the United States. In Florida, there's quite a few, Texas, that we've got, well, there's thousands of our green roofs around the United States. That are being used, and that's really growing. I mean, it's growing at a pace of 50 to 100% a year. It's like doubling every year the amount that we're selling.
When you say green roof, that means
a green roof is where you actually have earth and plants on the roof. And I can give you some technical information. It saves about 40% on your heat loss. It saves about 30% in air conditioning. It holds about 1.5 inches rain, okay, that holds in the roof, so the retention ponds, less strain on that
right.
to maintain it. 100 square feet replaces the emissions of one automobile.
Wow.
It extends the life of the roof by double. If it's a 20-year roof, the roof will last 40 years.
Wow.
You don't have the roof repairs because you don't have the thermal shock. Because, you know, I might have, like today, it was down to 42 degrees,
right.
and the sun comes out, and the roof temperature goes up to 90. Well, that roof grows and expands, and even a rubber tire or anything, after you bend it so many, it's like a piece
sure.
of metal. It bends, and all of a sudden, it cracks.
Right.
Well, with the green roof on top of it, you don't have thermal shock.
Uh-huh.
So, and I'll give you some absolutely... we're kind of, you can go real time on the computer and get what the temperatures are rough and get the history of it. So you absolutely know exactly how much that's saving. And we probably are almost what you would call the UL of the green roof system because of the computer that we set up here with all our testing probes.
UL meaning underwriters?
Yes. I mean, there's nobody in the country that has something and tested it to the point that we have because we're ahead of the curve there on technology.
Would you describe yourself as an environmentalist now?
Well, I always have been. I mean, first of all, I think there was a magazine that said Jesus Christ needed a roof over his head, okay? So it don't matter if you're straw, mud, bricks, or steel, you still need a roof on top. And so, and people need to live in a shelter. And so, when you protect the building because of a good roof, you don't have to build a house again because it don't rot,
right.
in a sense, okay? And environmentally, yeah, I mean, we invented the green roof, okay, because of the properties that it does in that. And I'm very interested. We've been working on solar for years to work it into the shingle roof because I don't like the looks of those big panels on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll show you some before you leave here that you can't even tell there is solar on the roof. And we're getting the price down there that people are going to be able to pay for it in 3 to 5 years as a payback. That's better than putting your money in the bank.
This is a little bit off the subject of solar and roofs and wind. I think it was about a year or so ago that you got into or back to Wisconsin Eye. Are you going to do anything more like that, or?
Well, no. I think the people have the right to know what goes on in the in the government, okay, because what I've found out, my wife and I both being involved in politics, you hear when they're on the road stumping, okay, to run for office, and then what you hear them say when they're on the pedestal, when the bills are passed and what they vote for, it's like night and day.
Right.
And I think people have a right to know. And I understand there was one time that somebody ripped the phone, the microphone, you know, right off the counter and tipped over the counter and so on. Talk about unprofessional. But now with the camera on them, they're going to be, and what they say, they're going to have to live with now. Mm-hmm. So all we want is the truth in our politicians. We're not looking for, tell us what we want to hear. You know, we want to know what you're really doing and what your real thoughts are. And I think any time that you have a media, I mean, it's like C-SPAN, that Wisconsin had nothing like that, and other states do. And my wife and I thought that it was important enough that we got involved in it. It doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. It's not about that. I'm for writing good laws that are going to help the everyday guy working, is going to support industry, because if you support industry, that creates job. Then the taxpayer, which is the guy in between, is really, really going to improve his life, and that's really what it's about. But if you can't create industry and attract industry to the state, therefore there's no jobs, so who's kidding who? I mean,
right. You've obviously been tremendously successful. When you talk to young people who are thinking about going into business, do you have any advice for them?
I would say be direct, treat your employees, and don't go in it for the purpose of making money. Making money is the result of running a good business. I think anybody that's in business that reads your magazine would say that you can walk into a business and tell a winner from a loser, and it all comes down to the attitude of the employees. I think one of our, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, you should be, is that ABC Supply this year won an award from Gallup, the Gallup poll people.
Right.
They interviewed 10 million people throughout the world, and we were one of 11 of the best companies in the world, okay, to work for.
Wow.
And we sell shingles. I mean, there's nothing, we didn't invent anything, you know what I mean?
Right.
We sell shingles. It's a simple product that everybody buys. We sell contractors, and we were the best company in the world to work for. I mean, it's amazing that you can do that. When we didn't move to Atlanta with my business, we didn't move to Dallas, Texas, we didn't, you know, we didn't go to Phoenix, Arizona. We stayed right here in Wisconsin, paid our taxes, and want to keep taxes low that we can reinvest more money in jobs here in the state. That's really, truly what it's all about.